Well, I am looking forward to the word that we are studying today, this word of God. We are going to be in the book of Ruth. Ruth is a little bitty book. So if you have trouble finding it, no one will judge you. Look at your neighbor and say, don't judge them. If they have trouble finding it, it's not because they don't know their Bible. It's because it's a very small book. In the Old Testament, it's going to be on the screens. We're in the first chapter, and we're going to skip to the fourth chapter as well. I do, as I often say, I like if you grab your Bibles and open it. We do actually have some new large print Bibles, so if that's a challenge to you, they are around in the chapel. Because I like that if you open your Bible or open it on your phone, so that later in the week you can go back to it if you need to go back and be reminded of the power of God's Word. So grab it. When you got Ruth, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, y'all sound good. Good. We are in the first chapter of Ruth. Perhaps a familiar story to some of us, perhaps new to some of us, but I know that God is always speaking, and there's a word from the Lord today from this passage. So we're going to be in Ruth chapter 1, verses 18 through the first verse of the second chapter, so through 2:1. And then we're going to skip to chapter 4 and read a bit from there. Please attend with me, if you would, to God's holy word. Ruth chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi." Somebody say Naomi.
Naomi.
"Call me Mara." Somebody say Mara.
Mara.
"For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. The first verse in chapter 2, "Now Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz." You turn with me to chapter 4. Of the same book, we're beginning in verse 9. Ruth 4, verse 9, "Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, 'Today you are witnesses that I have acquired from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and all that belonged to Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Mahlon, to be my wife, to maintain the dead man's name on his inheritance, in order that the name of the dead may not be cut off from his kindred and from the gate of his native place. Today you are witnesses.' Then all the people who were at the gate along with the elders said, 'We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and like Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you produce children in Ephrathah and bestow a name in Bethlehem, and that through the children that the Lord will give you by this young woman, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah.' So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is more to you than seven sons. She has borne him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom, and she became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David." You return to me just briefly to verse 14. "The women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin. May his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him.'" Please pray with me. God, we come before your word humbly, knowing that we do not have all the answers because, God, we are the creatures and not the creator. Yet, God, we come before your word expectant, knowing that you, God, have spoken to us so many times throughout our lives and our journeys. And God, some of us can say that we stand in need of a word from you today. So God, I ask that you would speak to your people through the power of your word, notwithstanding the frailties of the preacher, notwithstanding the limitations of the humanness in this moment. But God, speak with power. Move with power in this place. God, speak to those places in us that most need to hear from you, because sometimes those are the places we most hide and we most keep away from your powerful voice. But God, today, bring it all to your altar, asking God that you give us ears to hear what it is you have to say. We love you and we thank you. We trust you and we glorify your name. And it is in the holy and the powerful name of Jesus that together we say amen.
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 Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin. He shall be to you a restorer of life, they said, and a nourisher of you even in your later days. In situations of mass first aid, of large-scale first aid, there is a term that those who do first aid, a term that they use called the walking wounded. The walking wounded. Walking wounded is those persons who are injured, but they are still able to put one foot in front of the other. Those persons who have been wounded by something that's gone on, whether it's a situation of violence or whether it's a natural disaster, things have happened to their body, but they are not so debilitated that they cannot move. They are still ambulatory. They are able to go forward and to put one foot in front of the other. They are injured, but they are able to walk. They are still conscious and breathing. They are able to move in one direction and go to the next place where they need to be. So they are not considered as great of a priority because they are walking around, but they are not operating at their fullest capacity. They're in pain and they're moving and they're not crumpled and on the ground, but something has been debilitated about them. I feel in my life that I have witnessed many people, whether they have been physically wounded or not, whether the injuries are physical or not, I still have witnessed many people, even if their bodies have not been impacted, who are walking wounded. Able to put one foot in front of the other, able to, if you will, go through the motions, ambulatory, but not operating at their fullest capacity, something off in their spirit. Maybe even for decades we are able to be in this walking wounded state where we're injured by the things that have taken place over our, wounded by some things that we have seen and gone through, moving forward, putting one foot in front of the other. We're not crumpled anymore in the pile of our pain, but wounded nonetheless. Naomi, when we meet her today, she is one of these walking wounded. She has been through some things. If you know the story, you will recall that Naomi has seen some tremendous loss and life has dealt harshly with her, and she's been through some things. And when we find her today, she is past the stage where she is crumpled on the floor. She is past the stage where she is so broken that she cannot rise. No, she has risen. She is putting one foot in front of the other. In fact, she is on a long walk to Bethlehem. She is a walking wounded. She's able to go in a certain direction. She's ambulatory. Oh, but she is broken on the inside. Naomi, of course, has been through so very many things. If you are a Bible scholar, you will remember that she, in her day, she had a good life. She was married to a man named Elimelech. And they had a good life, and things looked all right for Naomi, and they had two sons. They decided to move from Bethlehem, from the land of Judah, their homeland. They decided to move to Moab because things had gotten rough in Judah and there was not enough food. It was a drought. A drought, a dry season. So they moved to Moab. Her, Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. Her family. as life would have it, and tragically Elimelech did pass on before his time, and she was left only with her two sons whom she loved, and life was not perfect, but she was making it through, and those two sons, they got married to Orpah and to Ruth. And these two sons and her two daughters, they were creating this life. But then one day life took even a worse turn and took from her things that she thought would never be taken from her, and dealt her blows that most people could not stand up from, and did things to her that she would, in her wildest dreams, never thought would take place. And she woke up one day stunned by the pain of life, because her two sons also passed away. Naomi has been through some things. She has been wounded by life, injured by the journey she's been on. And there was a point at which she was on the floor and couldn't rise, but she's risen from that. It's been about 10 years when we meet her today. But the imprint of this pain on her life has etched some rough spots in her soul. The pain she's been through has carved its mark, has branded her soul and said, this one I have touched, and her spirit is not the same. She is one of the walking wounded. Something has changed in her, the season that she's been through. Maybe you can relate. You think about the times that it wasn't a physical thing that happened to you, but some of the deeper things that take place in our lives, the things that are taken from us, the blows we receive that we were not expecting, they can injure us on the inside, and we can make it through, but barely, and we can be moving in a certain direction, but kind of just ambulatory and not really operating at our fullest capacity. This is Naomi today. As the walking wounded, this season has changed her spirit. It's powerful if you look at the text. I know maybe you know the story, but often it's powerful if you look, because Naomi's name, it means sweetness. Naomi, it means sweetness in Hebrew, and her name means sweetness. But she has so been changed on the inside by the season that she's walked through that she says, no, that cannot be my name anymore. I am not the same person. The sweetness is gone. Maybe some of you know what it is to walk through seasons that are bitter, seasons that you didn't expect, things that happened to you in life that no one could ever say you deserved, and just things taken from you that you can't even imagine how to go about getting them back, seasons of bitterness. Sometimes when we go through these seasons of bitterness, there's some things that we share with Naomi. One thing that Naomi does that some of us do, not everybody does, she's walking through this season of bitterness. One thing she does, she wants everybody to know. Sometimes this is how we are. You go through something, and the pain of it cries out from your spirit that it must be made known. That it's just an insult to injury to keep it to yourself. It's an insult to injury that those who are around you, they see you from the outside and they can't recognize what's going on the inside. This is Naomi today. She is walking on this bitter walk to Bethlehem, and she's walking back from this season of intense bitterness, and here come her friends to meet her. She's making this walk with Ruth, and the season has changed her spirit, and she's not the same as she was before, and here come her friends acting like everything is okay. Maybe you know how she feels a little bit when you go through something, and they should know. They were there. You texted them. They know what happened. But still, they something that they can't recognize the weight of what has happened to you. They can't. They don't grasp the heaviness there. And so Naomi, what does she do? Her friends say, Naomi, it's great to see you. And she says, stop right there. Do not call me Naomi. I need you to know. They get one sentence in. Naomi, great to see you. And she launches into six sentences. No. I need you to know. She makes a speech. You need to see that I am in pain. I know I look okay. I know I got my clothes together. I know I'm walking as though I'm not maimed by what has happened to me in life. I know I look okay on the outside, but how dare you not recognize the pain I've been through? Have you ever felt that way? There is something in us, an urge in the human spirit that cries out for that which has happened to us to be recognized, to be seen, to be marked. There's something in us that rails against it when we feel like the pain we've been through is not visible to the outside world. We need it to be seen. We need it to be grasped. We need people to know. We need there to be some, this is it, some recognition of the humanity that was bruised in us, of what we've been through, that there's something on our shoulders, even when it's invisible. Sometimes you just need people to know. Sometimes even, we act like Naomi. Sometimes even, when we go through these seasons of bitterness, sometimes we even have a hard time moving on and letting ourselves feel better because we're not yet sure in our spirits that everybody know, that people have recognized how hard this was. Sometimes there's an irony that the human spirit engages in that sometimes we refuse to let ourselves feel better because we're not sure yet that it has been marked and adequately, that there should be a monument for our pain. Sometimes we won't get up and get out of depression because we need people to know. They're still acting like everything was always okay. No. I need you. There needs to be a statue that says, right there I suffered, and here it is, and my humanity was bruised, and it needs to be recognized. There needs to be a monument to what I went through, and when there's not, when people can't find the words to say, I see you. I see what you went through. I see it wasn't easy for you. I care. I see it. Sometimes there's an irony of the human spirit that we refuse to feel better because we're not sure people get it. Mm. Naomi today, she does another thing we often do when we go through our seasons of bitterness. Sometimes when we find ourselves like this walking wounded, she becomes a little bit difficult to talk to. Now, I know I'm not talking to anybody in here. None of y'all are difficult to talk to when you go through your things. Y'all are pleasant. You're the old Naomi. You're the sweetness. But maybe you know some people who, man, you talk to them and they respond to you with all this stuff that you have. You're not saying anything about that. And you say one little nice word. Hey, how are you? They launch at you with everything that's wrong and how terrible it is and how heavy it is on them. And you do the pivot. Oh, okay, I think I'll go over here. Let me pivot away from that part of the conversation. Anybody know those people that they're in a season of bitterness? So to call them on the phone is not the easiest thing. It's not something you do on your way somewhere, no, because you know it might take a minute. This is Naomi today. Not only does she need people to see her pain and need people to recognize and somehow carve a monument to what she has been through, because truly she has been through so very much. She makes it difficult for her friends to talk to her. Naomi, how you doing? She says, do not call me Naomi. Oh, you can see the smoke coming out of her ear. And they're like, oh, okay. Not the day to mess with her. You see in the scripture, she acts just like us. Oh, these women are funny. The women say, is this Naomi? Three words, she lets them get in. Oh, and then she launches it. Call me no longer Naomi. You got to call me something else, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but I came back empty. I have seen calamity. She makes it difficult to talk to her. Oh, we know how she feels. And another thing that Naomi does when she passes through the season of bitterness that has changed her spirit and she's able to walk, but she's not operating at her full capacity. Another thing she does, she blames God. She blames God. She is a faithful Jewish woman, recognizing that God is sovereign over the universe. And because of that recognition that there is a God in heaven, she cannot, maybe you've been here. She cannot wrap her mind around how a sovereign God could allow this to happen. And because her human mind cannot see how this could take place, the tremendous loss that she's been through, because she can't make sense of it, knowing that God is big and is good and is on the throne, knowing those things, she can't make sense. And so she says, you know what? God must have done this. She says it four times. She says it wasn't illness, it wasn't bad luck, it wasn't that we weren't used to the place, it wasn't any of that. No, it was God. She says, the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. The Lord has brought me back empty. The Lord dealt harshly with me, and it was the Almighty who brought this calamity upon me. Oh, she's talking bad about God. She's sure, she's convinced. She's convinced that it was God, and it's not because she's so mad at God that makes her convinced. No, it's because of how heavy her pain was. Sometimes we do that same calculus. If it wasn't that bad, God is getting us through it. We don't blame God for it. But oh, when it gets really heavy, When the things in our lives we just can't make sense of, the loss that doesn't make any sense. People say things like this to me, "Pastor, I know God is teaching me something. We can't make sense of how it could happen without the hand of the Almighty at play." Because in our humanness, we can't understand everything that God sees from God's eye view. So what do? We blame God. Sometimes we talk bad about God too, saying God would do all manner of cruel things to us. But I have met God, and God is not cruel like that. And when we read this story, we can see from our perspective that God, we would say to Naomi, "Naomi, what? You think God would take away three of the people you love the most? Have you met God?" But like her friends, we know it's wiser not to say anything in this moment. So we just let Naomi alone as she's blaming God, as she's being difficult to talk to. The problem with being bitter, the problem with letting our spirits change when we go through things, these bitter seasons, the problem is not that we're difficult to talk to, our friends can handle it. It's not that we talk bad about God or that we blame God for things that later we see, okay, God did not do that to us. You know, there's a preacher, Sean McMillan, he says, it's okay sometimes when we wrestle with God and say things that that maybe are not true or have a hard time with God. He says, Sean McMillan, he says, "God is not so insecure in God's divinity that God cannot handle the questions of our humanity." So it's okay. That's not the problem with these bitter seasons. God can handle our questions and our even being angry. If you need to be angry a little bit at God, God is big enough for you to be angry and to say, "God," just like Naomi, "oh, I don't know why this happened. I thought you were in control. I thought you were good. God, I thought you were on my side." God can handle it. So if that is your story, if that's where your spirit is, sometimes we got to let those things out. Naomi lets it out. That's not the problem with this bitter season. The problem with when our spirits change because of the bitter seasons we walk through. The problem is not anger with God. Go ahead and be angry. God is bigger. If you can handle your child being angry at you, God is a million times bigger than you. So if you can handle, if you're mature enough as a mother, as a father, just imagine God being like, "It's all right. She'll come around." God can handle it. It's not that we make it difficult to talk to us. Our friends can handle it. The problem with when our spirits change and we let our bitter season become our bitter spirit, the problem is not what we say or do not say. The problem is what we cannot see. The problem with walking through these bitter seasons and letting them change our spirits, becoming these walking wounded, it's not what we say or don't say. It's what we cannot see. If you look at Naomi's story, you'll see there's some tremendous things happening around her, and she's really not able to see any of it. You'll see that she has gone from a season of drought and a season of difficulty, a season of loss in her life, in her journey, and God is bringing her back to a place called Bethlehem. A place, did you know that the name Bethlehem, it means house of bread or house of food? And that God is bringing her back on this journey. And she doesn't recognize that she's going home to the place that loves her, to the place that has some comfort for her. No, she can't see all that. Why? Because of what happened before and what was taken from her and the way her spirit has been shifted and not for the better. She can't see that Bethlehem is there. And Bethlehem's beautiful this time of year. It says we're at the beginning of the barley harvest. Things are back. There's plenty in the land. But she can't recognize that she's going home. She also can't see. I wonder if you feel like maybe you've been in seasons of bitterness where you couldn't see some things. She can't see this crowd of women who are around her, friends who are thrilled to see her come back. They come out to greet her. Now, I don't know the last time you got home and you had a crowd of people clapping and saying your name. Doesn't happen all too much. You know, that's usually not the case. No, the dishes might say hello to you. Where you been? You going to do us? Or the bills on the table might call your name. "Oh, we're glad you're back. Maybe you can pay us." But we usually don't get a standing ovation when we come home. Naomi has a circle of friends around. I need y'all to hear this. Naomi has a circle of friends, of women around who are celebrating her, there for her, want to see her pain, want to help her through it, but she cannot see them. Just for the women in the room. Guys, y'all just... You can text in a second. You can text for 1 minute. Sometimes we don't recognize the women in our lives. We don't recognize that we are surrounded by love and the power of the women who want to help us heal through things and celebrate us and be with us. She doesn't see.
She celebrated. She's got a circle of friends. And you know, some of those friends are thicker than sisters, better than sometimes women, friends, people who love you. She can't see it. Okay, guys, y'all can listen again. The main thing she cannot see. Oh, and the text, you can feel it in the story. The whole book is named after her. Oh, the whole book is named after this woman, but Naomi cannot see her. The whole book is named after the power of what this woman is doing and the hope that this woman is bringing into Naomi's life and the beauty of how God is working through this woman. The whole book is named after her. Naomi can't see her. Naomi can't see that Ruth is there with her. Naomi, she's not able to see it. Ruth just gives this impassioned speech about, I love you so much, I'll follow you wherever. Your pain is my pain, and we are going to get through this together. I know it's written in King James, but that's what she's saying. We're going to get through. Ooh. Can y'all see that? That's what she's saying. We're going to get through this together. But Naomi's pain is so thick, it's like blinders on her eyes, that she says, I can't see that right now. I know that's beautiful, sounds good, that's pretty, but I can't see that this woman God is sending as an angel. And Ruth gives this impassioned speech, we're going to get through this together. And Naomi says, okay, well, I can't convince her. She begins to ignore her. When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to Ruth. The two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. The whole book is named after Ruth and what God was doing through Ruth. But Naomi couldn't even see her because her pain was so thick. I wonder in your life, in your seasons of bitterness, those things that have shifted your spirit, and not in a good way, and sent you into a season of bitterness, and you don't feel like yourself anymore. I wonder in those things in your life that, yes, were bad, yes, were hard. I wonder what they are preventing you from seeing. God was thick in this situation. God was sending people. Plenty. God was shifting her season. God was sending lifelines to her, but she couldn't see it. Sometimes we can't see the people God is sending our way. We can't see the solution that if we just worked a little bit, maybe we would notice it there and see what God is doing. We can't see it because of our pain. I don't know what it is that God is putting in your life that you may be having trouble seeing right now, but there's power in letting God open your eyes. Naomi, even though she is talking so bad about God, even though she is bitter and she does not have kind words for the Almighty, you cannot say that she is not a religious person. How do I know? Well, I can see Naomi in this passage. She gets very creative in her bitterness, and she reaches back through the stories that were given to her by her faith. She's acting very religious, actually, because she reaches back through the stories of her faith. And maybe those of you in the room who are also very religious, you'll begin to be reminded of something as we read Naomi's story, because she's reaching back through the stories of her faith. And one thing that all Jewish people, one story they all knew, was the story of the Exodus. The story of the Exodus. And in the story of the Exodus, Naomi, being a good Jewish woman, she went to the synagogue all the time. She knew her scriptures. She remembers the story of the Exodus. And she remembers how in the Exodus, God had brought the Egyptians on a journey. And God brought them through things and delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians and drowned the Egyptians in the sea. And they were walking 3 days in the desert. And God had brought them all this way on a long journey, only to bring them to a place Naomi is remembering. Only to bring them to a place with water that is so bitter that it can't be drunk. Naomi is remembering in her, she's going back through the annals of the vocabulary of her meaning making, and she's searching through the images that she has in her psyche to make sense of this baffling thing called life. And she remembers this story, and she remembers how God had brought them on a journey and walked with them through some difficult things, and they kept going and they kept walking, and they were in the wilderness for 3 days, and God had brought them all this way only to bring them to a place that was so bitter, could not be consumed, where the water was supposed to be potable, supposed to be nourishing, was supposed to be good, but the water was so bitter. You might remember the story where the Egyptians come through here. I'll show it to you. It's in Exodus 15. Turn with me, if you could, to Exodus 15, verse 22. Naomi is going through the stories of her religious upbringing, and she's trying to make sense of his experience of life, and she remembers this story where God had brought the Egyptians through a place all along this journey, and finally they get to this place, but the water is so bitter, so unable to be drunk, so not what they expected, so not nourishing, so not sweet, so not what they needed, that they decide to rename it Mara. In verse 22, they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Mara, they could not drink the water of Mara because it was bitter. That is why they called it Mara. And I can just see Naomi in this season when things have become bitter for her and she's going through the annals of her images to try to make sense of what has happened. And she says, her friends come to her and say, Naomi, we're so glad to see you. And she says, you don't seem to understand how this thing has been. And I'm trying to find words to put on it to tell you so you can mark my pain and see why my spirit has shifted. You don't seem to grasp how hard this thing has been for me. I'm trying to let you know what? This is not life as it's supposed to be. This is not what he promised to me. Anybody know the feeling? This is not the way I expected it. No, I have come all this way, and you know what this is? This thing is bitter. Don't call me Naomi anymore. You don't seem to get it, she's saying to them. This has been heavy on me. Don't call me Naomi. You got to call me Mara. And she's wrestling with this story, naming her experience. Right. Putting words finally on how bad it has been for her. So to try to get the people around her to recognize what she has been through. Just the same way that she couldn't see the things around her. She couldn't see Ruth. She couldn't see Bethlehem. She couldn't see the women. She also couldn't see, she could not remember the rest of the story. Because if you know the rest of the story, if you remember the story of Moses, when the Egyptians, they got to the water that was bitter, so bitter they had to call it Mara. When they got to this journey in their life, when things were not the way they expected, when it was so bad that the only word they could put on this is bitter, when it wasn't how they expected it to be, and they had come through so much, but life was not the way they wanted it to be, and they got to this experience, and they said, God, what are we going to do? This is not going to work for me. I cannot do this. This is bitter. And she forgets the rest of the story, because in the rest of the story, Moses cries out to God, and God opens his eyes and shows him a tree. You know the story. It's in Exodus 15 up here. He cried out to God, and God opens his eyes, and God shows Moses. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. If you look in the notes, also a tree. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Do you see this? Naomi, so blinded by her pain, she can't see the women around her. She can't see the place she's going home, and they have a standing ovation for her. She cannot see Ruth, this angel that God has sent her way and that is saying, we're going to get through this together, and I love you so much. Do you not see the love that I'm showing you? She can't see all these things, and she cannot remember, because of her pain, the rest of the story. Moses cries out to God, and God opens Moses' eyes, right, and shows Moses a tree. And Moses breaks off a piece of the tree and throws it in the water, and the water becomes sweet, able to drink, right? What was bitter, God made sweet. What was bitter, there was something there. What was bitter, there was something there. All God needed to do was open Moses' eyes so he could see it. And break it off, and he threw it in the water. The water was able to be drunk. What was bitter was made sweet. What was impossible was made possible. What was awful and suffering was turned into something else, and they could drink the water. Sometimes in our lives, there are trees that God is trying to show us, and we could just grab onto that tree. We could pull ourselves out of the river of pain that we've been floating in. But sometimes we're not like Moses. We just refuse to let God open our eyes. God is trying to say, look what I'm doing for you in your life. Look at this person I've sent your way. Look at this job I'm sending you. I know it's not perfect, but if you throw that thing in the water, I can do some magic with it. If I'm showing you some things that I've already placed in your path, but sometimes our pain makes it so that we can't see, and we don't want to see. We don't want to see. Sometimes we don't want to feel better. So this is us. This is what we do. God is saying, I'm trying to open your eyes. I'm sending you signs. I'm sending you songs on your Spotify. I'm sending a person to tell you, look this way, look at this thing. I'm trying to make this thing better for you. I have not abandoned you on your journey. And God's trying to open our eyes, but this is us. We just squeeze shut. Nope, I don't want to see it. Squeeze and shut. Nope, God, I don't want to see it. God, help me. God, help me. But we won't open our eyes to see the help, the tree that could pull us out of that river of pain. Sometimes this is us. What if Moses had not opened his eyes to look. Sometimes we are so committed to our pain that we don't show up to our healing. Can you imagine? God saying, I'm trying to open your eyes. God is always opening people's eyes in Scripture. God opens. The Israelites couldn't see a lot of things. They couldn't see the victory, so God had to open Moses' eyes. God had to open Hagar's eyes to show her the water that was there. Opened her eyes so she could see it. God had to open Gehazi's eyes so he could see that the angels around them were more than the troops that were with the enemy army. God always has to open your eyes. God is always opening people's eyes in Scripture. I wonder if you can join the ranks of those today. If you can say to God, God, open my eyes. If I've been in a season of bitterness, I've been through some things, can you open my eyes? Show me the tree you place in there. Show me the roots that you have sent to my life. Show me the ways that you are trying to reach down, grab me out of this, and bring me to a life that is abundant. Restore what has been lost. God is always opening eyes. But often we are so committed to our pain, so blinded by what we've been through. We're just waiting until everybody knows. Waiting until we get it all out of our system. Let me just tell you a secret. Some things hurt so bad, you're never going to get it all out of your system. But there is life. There is joy. I like to say grief and joy are small enough, they can fit in the same spirit. You can have grief and joy at the same time. You're never going to get it all out. Sometimes we're waiting. Get it all out of my system. Just let everybody. I just need to get it out. No, it's not going to get out. Sometimes God is saying, your season of bitterness can come to a close if you would open your eyes and see. Naomi doesn't remember this part of the story. She can't see what God is doing in her life. She can't see Ruth. She can't see the ways that God is weaving this story, but she can't see. But just because she can't see it, just because she cannot see what God is doing does not mean God is not doing it. Just because she cannot see how God is restoring to her the things that had been taken from him does not mean God is not doing it. Naomi had no idea. Naomi had no idea that she was walking on that bitter walk to Bethlehem, that she was walking toward the restoration of her life. She was walking toward days of joy. She was walking toward hearing her own laughter for the first time in a long time. She had no idea. She was on this bitter walk and telling everybody, leave me alone. And she's walking in bitterness. She didn't know that she was walking toward the restoration of her life. Ruth did not know. Ruth had no idea that she was walking toward her destiny. But God knew. I don't know if you can see it in the text, but the whole time God is weaving together this healing for Naomi and for Ruth. So God is weaving this together. God is doing things. God is performing acrobatics of healing and mechanisms of provision that are invisible to the human eye. But God saw it the whole time. And God is working hard. And God is setting up the harvest. And God is putting people into place. And God is twisting things and turning things so that they come together to create the life that God had in mind for Naomi. Not the life of pain. Not the eternal season of bitterness that she thought was her reality. No, but the abundant life that God is always weaving together for us. That's what God was doing. And all Naomi had to do was let God open her eyes and see it. It says right here in verse 2:1, turn with me in your Bibles to Ruth again. Now Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. God had put this person here, and Naomi saw him, but she didn't really see him. She saw what God was, but she didn't really see what God was doing. And all she had to do was open her eyes. And it began to take place that God began to weave this story back together. And one day Ruth went out into the fields. And she was picking grain. You may know the story. She's picking grain and she's working really hard to take care of her mother-in-law because she said, you and I will get through this what? Together. She's picking grain. And one day Boaz notices her. And he says, you are such a good person, and I heard the story of how nice you've been to your mother-in-law. And Boaz is very kind to her, and Ruth thinks nothing of it, and Boaz thinks nothing of it, but God was up to something. Just in the same way that we don't see things, that doesn't mean God is not up to something. God was up to something, and Ruth didn't notice it, Boaz didn't notice it, but God was up to something, and one day Naomi gets an idea. In other words, God opened her eyes. One day, Naomi gets an idea, and she says, I wonder if this could work. And she starts to cook up something. Something is reviving in her spirit, and she's opened her eyes a little bit more to see the possibilities of God restoring life in a place that she thought there could never be life again. And she gets an idea, and she says to her daughter-in-law, she says, Ruth, I need you to dress up really nice. I need you to anoint yourself. Find that nice perfume that you never put on. Put on your best clothes. Look with me. It's in 3:2. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he was winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash and anoint yourself. Put on your best clothes. Go down to the threshing floor and go see about Boaz. So when Boaz tells the story, you'll remember, when he's talking to the bros in the city square, he's telling all the boys about how it went down. He acts like he was a protagonist. You saw that? He said, well, I need y'all to let, I acquired Ruth. Oh, really? Is that how that happened? Because if we read the scripture, we see that it was really Ruth who did all the work. It was really Ruth who put on her best dress, and she went out, and she had an idea the whole time. And this is just a hint for the ladies, the single ladies. They act like they really like to feel like they are the ones who woo and who court, but they're really quite shy. So you might need to help them out. Just a little dating advice from the Bible. Ruth is the one who puts this together. She is the protagonist, even though later Boaz says, I acquired her. No. So we know how it really happened. Because at the insistence of her mother-in-law, she puts on that dress that she only wears when she means business. You know that dress? She puts on that dress. And she goes to see about Boaz. And she says, Boaz, now I know, I've been seeing you. Watch me. And I catch you staring at me when I'm picking the barley. Don't lie. Now this is my translation. This is the Willow Rose Johnson version, the WRJV. The WRJV says, now don't lie, I know you've been watching me. I see you when I'm picking the grain. And then he says, Boaz says to her, well, yeah, but I didn't know you would ever look back at me. That's also the WRJV. I didn't know you would ever look back at me, he says, because I'm not that young anymore. And she says, you still got it. This is the modern 2019 version. You still got it. And God begins to weave together something that they did not think would be in the cards anymore. And both of them walk into a season of joy and of love that they did not think would be in their destiny anymore. Neither one thought it could get done, but God is weaving it together. And not only for them, but Naomi, she walks into a season of joy that she thought was no longer in the cards for her. She thought it could not happen anymore, but all of a sudden, they make it official, and they become a family, and all of a sudden, there's laughter in her house again. There's a sound of little feet where she thought there would always only be silence. There is joy where she thought there would always only be brokenness. There is expectation for the future when she thought all she would ever get was pain from the past. There is new life, and there's hope. There's abundant life. There's sweetness. There's sweetness where she thought there would always only be bitterness. Now, I don't want to imply with this powerful story of God who can make even the bittersweet. I don't want to imply that God somehow magically made it all hunky-dory and erased Naomi's pain. I don't want to imply that, because if I communicate that God is saying, I will erase it all and make it all better and it will be like it never happened, then you might think that God is saying, I will always, and in every case, erase everything you've been through and it'll be as though it never happened. And that is disrespectful of your pain. That is disrespectful of the things that we go through that compare to the pain that Naomi went through, those heavy things that defy human words, unspeakable things. Disrespectful to say what God is saying is, I'm just going to, it'll be like it never happened. No, I'm sure Naomi felt that pain every now and then again. I'm sure she wore her Elimelech's wedding ring and she might have missed him every day of her life. I'm sure there was pain that left its tender spots. With the things that we go through, it's not that God erases it and makes it as though it never happened. No, some wounds that we sustain in life, they always, even after they get put back together, they still leave some tender spots. But what God is saying in this passage, what God is saying through this powerful story, when he says, even Naomi, I can make what was bittersweet again, even from what she went through, what God is saying, that you can go from being the walking wounded to being the laughing wounded, to being the loving wounded, to being the traveling wounded, to being the joyful wounded, to being the living wounded. And pretty soon that wound is going to turn into a battle scar and a testimony. And it won't be the gaping wound that kept you in the bitter season. Oh, God can make even what is so bitter, God can make it sweet. God God can make it turn into what you thought it could never be again. God can take a season of bitterness and turn it around. But we have to let God open our eyes to see the things that God is doing. This is what happened to Naomi today. Her powerful story of how God restores life where she thought nothing could ever be there again, like nothing could ever be restored. She walks into a life unbeknownst to her. She thought she was walking to the living out of her days in bitterness, and then nothing there would be no life to be restored to her. She thought this was the end of her road. She was walking on this bitter walk to Bethlehem, sure that this is how it was going to be. But God made sweet what had been bitter. God always had a plan the whole time, was weaving together what God was doing to restore life to her. She couldn't see it at times because the pain can become blinders. But God was busy working it out. What if Naomi had never let God take off those blinders? What if Naomi had never let God show her, look, there's Boaz. Look, there's new life here. Look, come on, keep going until you get to Bethlehem. I'm waiting here for you. What if Naomi had been so mad that she never let God restore life to her? God made even the most bitter thing, added some sweetener. God sweetened it. God gave her back the life that she thought would never be hers again. This is what it says in the text. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher even of your later days. Look what God has done. God has brought life back into your home. God has made abundant what was lacking. You thought you were empty, but God has brought you back and God has filled you up. God took what was bitter and made it sweet. You thought it couldn't happen, but it was happening the whole time. All you had to do, Naomi, was keep walking and let God open your eyes. It is in God's nature to heal. Some of us, we have curly hair. We try to straighten it. It'll stay that way for a little bit, but it's our nature to have curly hair. You can't undo it. This is God's nature to heal. How do I know? In the story of Exodus, when God is trying to tell them, look, I know you thought that this I was going to leave you on this journey and I was going to take you all this way to a bitter place, that I was going to take you in this walk of your life to a bitter place and leave you there. This is what God says in the Exodus account. Yeah, I know you thought this water would be bitter and that I would leave you here with nothing to drink, with no life, nothing to give you life. Do you not know me, God says? I am the Lord who heals you, God says. It's in my nature to heal. You think I would give you life and keep you in this life, keep you all this way to leave you in a life that is bitter? That's not abundant? That's joyless? No, I can restore all things, God says. I can make all things new. That is what God is saying to us today. These seasons of bitterness are not our destiny. These seasons of bitterness are not meant to be permanent weather. Yes, pain will happen. Yes, we walk through things, but God is trying to bring us into the next season to restore sweetness to our lives, to bring us into that abundant life that God said is for all of us. Even when we go through the most difficult things. The season of bitterness is not supposed to be our destiny. I don't know what you have been through, but if it has been heavy and tremendous, I know God can bring sweetness again. I know God can do it. I know God can restore life even to the places that you thought were so dead and will always be painful. I know why, because God did it for Naomi, even with all she had been through. But what did she have to do? She had to open her eyes. Let God open her eyes to see the mechanisms of healing that were all along her path, all along that walk to Bethlehem. Stand to your feet this morning.